when is Girl Scout cookie season? I just went to their website right now, trying to find them. It says, we're getting ready for next cookie season. Wow, we had an awesome season this year. Thanks to customers like you. Blah, 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 blah. We can't wait until next year's season. When is it?
Wait, there's only one season per?
I guess. We got to find this out on Twitter. And then I was looking at the flavors. Nuts. Dude, look at these flavors here. There's too many.
Like, see, I told you there's new ones. I don't know what they are.
When I was growing up, there was like four maybe. That was it. Raspberry Rally now. Adventurefuls, which looks good. Brownie-inspired cookies. Caramel flavor cream with a hint of sea salt.
Oh, wow.
Caramel chocolate chip. No, thanks. Like, if I'm going to get chips, like, I've had, you know, I'll just get Chips Ahoy or something like that. Samosas, yes.
No. Girl Scout cookies are pretty damn good.
These Do-Si-Dos. Everybody liked the tag-alongs. I was always a Do-Si-Do guy. You remember that one? The peanut butter, like the peanut butter sandwich kind of cookie one?
No.
Peanut butter in the middle of that.
No, I don't remember that one.
S'mores was a new favorite not too long ago. Lemonades, lemon ups. I like lemon, but...
No. The lemon whatever. I don't know. The first one I think it is because I'm seeing it out of the corner of my eye.
Shortbread cookies? Yeah.
I think those are really good.
Can you see this here?
There we go. Yeah, I think it was that first one that looks like a lemon.
There's your tag along, the peanut butter patty.
Those are the best.
Oh, thin mints, delicious.
Not a big mint guy.
And what the hell is this? Toast Yay? Yummy toast-shaped cookies full of French toast flavor and dripped in delicious icing. Sounds pretty damn good to me.
Hey, I'd eat it.
Toffee-tastic? No way. You a toffee guy?
Not really, but in a cookie, it's not that bad. The actual, like the toffee itself, like, no, I'm not eating that.
Yeah, I'm out. And then the trefoils, which is just the plain standard. You've had those.
Were those like the originals?
Yeah. Just like the plain.
I didn't know their names. Okay.
Trefoils, yeah. Oh, man.
It's like shortbread, no?
Yeah, kind of, right, exactly. Dude, I need these. I need these in my life right now. Fine, we got to find out how you can get some.
Now, there's only one season a year. You're telling me, like, you know. In this day and age, like, you can't go online there and just say, give me
no,
whatever.
No, that's what I thought I was going to do. Shop. Let's see. I click shop. I can't. I'm not seeing it here.
Like, you're not allowed to order that except in a small window?
Shop now. Oh,
I'm giving you money. You don't want it?
No, the shirts that come up and jackets and Girl Scout stuff. No, I want cookies. I want the cookies.
What do they got? Little kids making cookies once a year? Like, come on.
I don't know. Anyway, this is a problem. I never really thought about it before. But, yeah, especially now. I'm smelling it again. They're right here. I may eat these before it's all said and done.
No, you think Craig's going to notice?
Yes, he will. Craig, are you kidding me?
You think he's going to remember two Samoa cookies that he had yesterday?
I am not going down in history and potentially getting fired again for eating Carton's cookies. Remember the intern that ate Mike's egg roll? No, I'm not going down that road. I know this. I'm assuming they're Carton's. I know they're not mine, so I'm not touching them. 877-337-6666. Clinton is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Clinton? Hey, Clinton.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, Clinton?
I'm all right. I just want to talk a little about the Mets.
Go ahead.
And the free agent signing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a disaster.
Who?
Verlander and the other guy. What's his name? The pitcher.
Scherzer?
They're too old.
Oh, Verlander looked good. I mean, Verlander looked pretty darn good as last time.
He looked good, but it's like the GM, everything gone wrong for him so far.
They won 101 games last year. How did everything go wrong for him?
No, I'm talking about this year, not last year.
Oh, we're a month into the season.
I mean, Lindor is a disaster.
Okay, how's that on the GM? He didn't even bring him in.
And the other cat, what's his name?
Well, you got to respond to stuff that I'm saying. You can't just come on and say, wow, this guy's been terrible, and then I'm giving you a retort, and you're just ignoring it. So what has Billy Epler done wrong in your mind? Let me ask it that way, Clinton.
Billy Epler haven't done nothing. Nothing.
But again, Billy Epler won 101. He built a team last year that won 101 games.
No, but they came back. What happened? Atlanta beat them.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with it. But they won 101 games a year ago. So when you say he does nothing, you mean what exactly? Winning 101 games and getting to the playoffs or a franchise that has barely been in the playoffs in their existence, that's doing nothing? Billy Epler is the orchestrator of one of the more successful seasons in the history of the New York Mets. That's what he's done. You can't dispute that. That's not my opinion. That's a fact.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Okay. So now we agree. So now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. For 2023, he did not make no adjustment. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, what would you have liked him to do exactly? Like, what's the what were the moves you were looking to make that the Mets didn't make in the offseason? We all wanted Carlos Correa. That didn't work out for different reasons. What would you have done? You didn't want Justin Verlander?
Well, to me, to be honest with you,
yeah.
Justin Verlander, we see what happened. The same thing with Max Scherzer. That's what's going to happen to him.
Which is what?
And now Max Scherzer saying he's not feeling well. So
yeah, I mean, well, you know. I mean, look, Clinton, and thank you for the call. I think I know what you're trying to get at. You're saying that you'd rather not invest in older pitchers. My counter to that would be, well, then who are you bringing in exactly? The Mets don't have pitching through the farm system, so they have to go out there and sign free agents. For my money, and for Steve Cohen's money, which is much more important, the best two free agents that you could possibly get to your rotation over the last couple years have been Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. And guess who Steve Cohen got? That is correct. Both. That is correct. Both of those guys. Would you rather have DeGrom back? I wouldn't. Rather have Carlos Rodon? I wouldn't. Scherzer was good last year when he was healthy until the end. Now, I don't know if he's injured or what, dealing with this or that. I need to see him go out there tonight and dominate, or at least be competent. He's got to go six innings, three runs or fewer. That's what you need to see from Max Scherzer tonight, to regain some of that confidence. And then once this rotation stabilizes, they should be fine. Eventually, Lindor will hit. You hope Marte can pick it back up. But it's not like the Mets don't have any talent. They'll clean up and trim some of the fat from this roster when the time comes. You know, maybe they'll bring up Vientos and cut somebody, maybe Guillermo, whoever it may be. They'll figure it out as far as that goes. Those are insignificant little moves, though. The big boys, Marte, Lindor, Scherzer, Verlander, Alonso too, throw him in there. Those guys need to get it going. But I don't understand where you guys just come on and say Billy Epler's done nothing. What is this based off of exactly? Look at the Mets franchise history. Go to Google their franchise index or go to Baseball Reference and look at the Mets history and tell me again how Billy Epler did nothing. Because I'll give you plenty of guys who actually did nothing. And this is not me being a shill for Billy Epler. I'm just stating the facts. They won 101 games a year ago and made the playoffs. For this franchise, that's rare. And now this year, all right, they were off to a slow start. Big deal. They were a game under 500. Season's just getting going here. It's first week of May. Chris is calling from Beacon. What's up, Chris?
Yo, Sal.
How are you, Chris?
Am I hearing you correctly? You're saying you can't find Girl Scout cookies?
I'm saying I want to buy Girl Scout cookies right now, and I don't know where I could do that.
They stand everywhere at the stores by me. I have to literally avoid these little kids. I act like I'm talking on the phone because they harass me so much. And I can't get it. I'm on a diet with my wife. She finally got me on this diet. I said, I'll start, New Year. She started January. I just started, 3 weeks ago. So, but they come out every spring. It's just what they do. And they stand out at the store at the table with the parents. They have their outfits on and they're, they have everything.
Okay. Dude, so right now, season?
Yeah. We're in season. Dude, if you want, I will send you, I will mail you boxes.
How much are they per box? Do you know?
I think they're like $6 a box.
Wow, it's gone up.
$5. Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah. I have friends that have daughters that are in school that they're posting on like Facebook, like get your orders ready.
Look at this, Amazon. I could go. I just Googled it. Amazon has them.
You could probably get them on there. Yeah, but they stand at the store. You can just probably go if you go to a random store. They're usually out there.
Now wait a second. Amazon is charging $17 for Samoas.
That's why they're exclusive. No, don't do that. Dude, I will mail you boxes.
$14 for Thin Mints? Oh, wait, is this? Yeah, per 32 ounce. No, 32 per box. Is that one box?
Those are sellers trying to oversell because you can't get these in the stores.
Okay, right, because they're just getting suckers like me who just want to click a button and have it delivered to my house.
Yeah, don't do that.
The Thin Mints look different than I remember them, too. They must have changed the texture of them. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that.
I'm not sure, but they're everywhere. Let me know.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I got to go to the supermarket and figure it out. And this week, that'll be my dessert.
You'll see them standing out there. You'll see them out there in their outfits. And, you know, they're asking you, do you want to buy things? And I'm walking by.
This is the season. Supermarket should have Girl Scouts out in front of it. Okay.
It's the spring for some reason. I don't know. I think they start like in April.
Okay.
They do this every year.
Works for me. Thank you.
Real quickly. Dude, I know you don't like to hear this. We got to get you back in the overnights for one reason only. I have to know what's been going on with Stewart's life.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I haven't heard from Stewart. You're right, now that I think about it.
He calls every night, but he talks about Aaron Boone and Cashman every day because no one asks him the tough questions.
Mm.
You know, no one says, all right, good for the Yankees. What's been going with you?
Yeah.
Nobody's been saying this, though. So I need to find this information. And, dude, have you seen this video? He has to see this video. This is like WAP part two. It's the Ice Spice and Nicki Minaj video, Princess Diana. Have you seen this?
No, I have not. Ice Spice, who's that?
Yeah, that's the new girl. She has like the curly red hair. You'll see her. You just type in, when you want to break out, type in Ice Spice, Nicki Minaj, and it will come up Princess Diana. You watch that video, and you come back on, and you react how you think Stewart will react to this video.
Okay.
He will lose his mind.
Yeah, hopefully Stewart is aware of this video.
He does not know. That's why you got to get back in the overnight so we can explain this stuff. Now.
Okay. Well,
right,
I don't know. Yeah.
So, look. We have to know about it. But, look. The season's over, Sal. It's done. I'm waiting for September now. I got to see what my Jets can do. It's just Mets are terrible, and it's over, dude. This has been over since the first half of the first game. When they were playing like they were out of Cleveland, and when they adjusted to them, they have never stopped. When they just started, you know, clogging up the paint where they can't drive no more and daring these guys to shoot threes that they can't do, it's been over ever since. They have never adjusted to it because they don't have shooters, Sal. Even Felice was saying it last night. During the Steph Curry era, we built a team that guys that can't shoot threes.
Right.
I'm laughing. I'm sitting in the bed laughing. Like, I was sick since, you know, Saturday. I said, wait, it's 3 days to watch this crap? It's been over since from the beginning of the tip. And then watching tonight, you know,
that's not necessarily true. I mean, Saturday was awful. Yeah,
it was terrible.
Saturday was no point to watch that game after the first quarter.
I started packing up my jerseys and putting it away at that point. I said, "This is done. This team sucks, man." But I can't see Randall shoot threes anymore. So I know you were saying we have no one else to shoot threes, but even RJ sucks. But a guy that's been really terrible, man. He got hurt now. It's Quickly. The guy he was showing up during the season. He's been nowhere.
No,
they got no players now. They got nothing.
Well, no, without Quickly there as an impact player, and thank you for the call, Chris. Without Quickly there, and obviously he's hurt, but even when he was there, he wasn't doing his job. He was not being an impact player for this team. But without him having an impact, they have no scoring off the bench whatsoever. So that is a big problem. They don't have shooters to begin with. They are probably the worst built offensive team, for a good team anyway, in the league. That's an issue. I can't say that they suck and that they're going down in the series because I don't think Miami is that good either. Look, the Knicks are going to be up against it, but they do return home. I think they're winning game five. Now, you win game five, all of a sudden you're down 3-2. You got to steal one on the road and get it back to a game seven at home, and you're feeling good. Game five is the key here. Just get it to game six. Can't come home and go out like that. No way. And disappoint like that. Salicata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Tough loss. Not even a tough loss. Just, I mean, in general, losing both games in Miami is tough to swallow for Knicks fans. It does take away some of the excitement. That's what sucks about the whole thing. It's a playoff series. It happens. Teams go up 3-1. Teams blow 3-1 leads. You know, sometimes it's 2-2. Whatever. 3-0 we've seen, and teams come back, and not very often, but regardless, it does take away. It feels less like a series when you're down 3-1. It feels less like a series. 2-2, all of a sudden, the feel is totally different tonight. The vibe is different. We're excited talking about the Knicks, how they're going to come home. We're going to party. And even though I do feel the Knicks are going to win on Wednesday, and maybe that does change things because then people will be excited again about Friday right now, which would be game six. Right now, nobody's excited about being down 3-1. That's the problem. And it does take away from it. But 3-1 is not impossible, especially when you have two of them at home. Now you can sit and sulk for a day. Man, in the 90s, I used to wear those playoff losses for, I mean, obviously until the next game, but they hurt so badly. This one will hurt a little bit, but I think, come later on today, you start to get out of it a little bit. Turn your attention to Judge being back if you're a Yankee fan. Turn your attention to Scherzer on the mound if you're a Met fan. Mets are in Cincinnati, Yankees at home to continue their series with the A's. Ahead of a big four-game series with the Rays as well this weekend. And then Wednesday, you start to get excited again about the possibilities of this team. Win that game five. Keep this series going. Make it a series again. And see if you can go steal one in Miami and bring it back home to the world's most famous for game seven on Monday. Steve is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Steve?
Give me a quart of milk and I'll plow through a box of Entenmann's chocolate frosted donuts.
Which All ones? Right. Just regular chocolate frosted? That's it?
Chocolate frosted ones. Everybody knows them.
Yeah, I never liked those. My mother did. I like the, my favorite Entenmann's were the ones with the crumbs on top. You know which ones I'm talking about? The powder?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, those ones.
And they were very soft, too. They were delicious.
Yeah, oh God, they're so good. I could crush those, too, right now. You're right.
Are you hungry right now, Sal?
Yeah, I am. I haven't eaten all day because I was all I had today was two protein bars and a couple of snacks from the vending machine because I didn't bring dinner because I didn't want to eat because I overate yesterday.
Oh, well, the other thing is when you start to get hungry like that, you have to eat. You have to eat something because you're going to go outside on 2nd Avenue and shoot a water buffalo if you don't.
Yeah.
That's how hungry
you are.
No,
I
got
to go home and go right to bed. These two Samoa cookies are lucky they're surviving the night. I mean, I'm smelling them all night. How do I not eat them?
Right. And I think Craig's act is he buys all the food and then he just bites into it, and then he just watches everybody else eat it. There's no way he eats all the food that he ordered.
I don't know, man. Craigie could put it away. I'm looking at this thing. The whole thing's empty. There's literally two cookies left. I mean, Evan looks like he's been eating some, too, so I don't know. Maybe it's that, but maybe it's that as well. I'm not sure what's going on exactly. I just know that, Craig is the guy here, and he's always ordering the food. I think he's doing a good job eating it himself.
Yeah, but if he ate all that food, he'd weigh like 400 pounds. But anyway, the thing is, the only way the Knicks will win game five is if Omar Brooklyn sits next to Spike Lee, and that would do it for them.
Omar's a bigger fan.
That would be outrageous, the two of them sitting next to each other. The cameras would be on them all night long.
Who do you think's more passionate? I'm going with Omar.
Omar, I would say if it was legit, Omar would probably get thrown out of the building in the first quarter.
You're right.
And Spike Lee probably in half, so right after halftime sometime. If they really, threw guys out who ran on the court. If me and you went to the game, ran on the court, we'd be out of the building. They'd be taking out mug shots, the facial vision. We'd never get back in the building.
Omar would 100% get tossed for yelling at the refs or taunting Miami. 100%. You wouldn't survive the first quarter. You're right.
Yeah, Omar would be out of there and stuff. They'd have him. And I know Yankee Stadium used to have a cell. I was in there one time as a teenager. Pat Riley, it's a funny thing. He used to always say three-point shot is fool's gold. Obviously, he must have changed his opinion on that. The 90s Knicks, my take on them, I loved all sports. I played all sports. They didn't have a player that could create their own shot. Their big scorer, realistically, was Ewing. Mm-hmm. Ewing was if you look at it today, he fits in more today. I would rather have – he was taking 15, 20-foot jumpers.
Right.
Back then, I'd like to have the 7-footer staying away from the backboard.
Well, he was great anytime. He could back you down, post moves, fade away. He could get to the rim. But you're right. For a big man back then, it was a rarity to see him shoot that well. I mean, I think if Ewing worked at it, I guarantee you he didn't work at threes that often. He could be one of the better shooters in the game, Ewing.
Right. Them not winning a championship had nothing to do with him. And, folks, this is what I'll leave you with this. I'm not going to talk about the Yankees now. It's too early. We know the Yankees are going to play. Mm. Listen, I just checked the TV schedule, and I saw Knicks-Bulls Game 6 on Friday on ESPN, folks. So there is a Game 6 because it's
Heat.
In the TV schedule. All right?
Knicks Heat, you're talking about? What do you mean?
On the
you said Knicks-Bulls. You're talking about Knicks?
Oh, Heat, I meant. Yeah, that's what yeah. I'm going back to the
I didn't, no, I didn't know if it was like a rewind or something. And thank you for the call, Steve. A replay of an older game or whatever. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, hopefully it's going to happen. We don't have the time of that game yet. It's obviously, if necessary, after Wednesday night. But it just, right now, I do feel like people think it's over, which is nuts to me. These series happen all the time. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to win the series. You think they're going down in five games to this crappy Heat team? I'm not buying it. Kevin is calling from Carmel. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Sal. I love your opinion. First off, I want to shout out your other caller. I'm like, if you think Girl Scout cookies are going to fill your appetite, look up a little Ice Spice. He's not wrong there. But anyway.
I did anyway. See the video.
Yeah. All right. So you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So I was listening to, I think it was Alan Hahn, who was saying that the Heat are pressing Jalen Brunson as soon as he gets the ball, you know, boom, 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 from as soon as he gets inbounded, they almost need to get to Mitchell Robinson. He's like, oh my God, how do I get it to him? And then to half court, and then in the fourth quarter, what was it? It was like the Heat were shooting like 10%. And they were still beating us.
They kept grabbing rebounds. The Knicks couldn't grab a rebound.
It was killing me.
That's the worst thing.
I can't do this.
You're right. That was an extremely frustrating game to watch because the Knicks were there. They were there. They were close. They were on the doorstep. They would get a stop. Then they couldn't get the rebound. They would hit a shot, then they couldn't get a stop. Couldn't get a rebound when they did get a stop. It was just very frustrating.
We're 0 for 6. They're 2 for, like, 16, and they're winning. It's like, oh, my. Like you said that. I agree with you why people don't think we can win this. Because, like, if we just play decent, they're not playing that good. To where every time we're down 8, we'll go down 5. And then it's like, all right, they're up 8 because we're running out of bounds. And there's a rebound that we're smacking each other's hands. And is going out of bounds, or RJ will grab it, and he gets bumped by someone and goes out of bounds. I'm like, you guys are killing me.
Yeah, right, you can't do that. It's exactly right. It's infuriating. He finally the Knicks can't grab a rebound all night. He finally grabs one, and he's stepping out of bounds, RJ Barrett.
Yeah, or someone else bumps him out of bounds, or he's grabbing it, or someone's going too fast, and they'll bump into are you getting it? Or am I getting it?
No, you're right, exactly. Two guys in the same spot. No. Like, you can't do that. You just watch the ball go. That was an infuriating game to watch. Think about it this way, though, Kevin, and thank you for the call. 3-1 seems like a lot, right? It's a big deficit. Not as big as you could have, but it seems like a lot. The reality is it's a one-game difference. 3-1 is a one-game difference. Had the Knicks won game one like they were supposed to, had Jalen Brunson played some semblance of a decent game, and he took accountability for it afterward, as he should have, had the Knicks won game one, it's a totally different series. Now, obviously, looking back, you know, we know that they lost the series, so you look at it now for what it is. But you're supposed to, if everything goes the way it's supposed to, you're supposed to lose the games on the road. So that's the game. People are going to focus on game 3 getting smoked. People focus on game 4 playing like crap, defensively, rebounding. Game 1 is the key. That's the one the Knicks were supposed to win. They had a big lead, a double-digit lead in the first half of that game. They closed out the first half poorly. They closed out the game poorly. And Miami took it from them. Brunson was awful. That's the game that ruined this series, at least for now. And if the Knicks win game 5, they have to make up for that game 1 by winning game 6. And then everything's back to even. Then they're where they should be. So they've got to protect home court and just make up that one bad loss in game 1. Antonio's calling from Manhattan. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's up, man? How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Let me ask you this question, because I know you picked the Heat, and then you changed your mind. Let me ask you this. If Butler would have played game 2, who wins that game?
Well, I mean, it's a what if. I mean, I don't think the Knicks will lose in both games at home. I don't think I don't think that this is Jimmy Butler.
The Knicks at that point.
No.
That's what would have happened.
No, well, that's your opinion. My opinion is you asked me the question, right? Did you ask me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I asked you. Exactly.
Okay, then I don't think, yeah, I think the Knicks are still going to win. I don't think this is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is going to play on Wednesday. I think the Knicks are winning. I don't think the Heat are winning this series because Jimmy Butler played. That has nothing to do with it. I think the Knicks have played like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of Jimmy Butler in the Heat. I mean, Jimmy Butler's a great player. I mean, I told you that before the series, but it's not like, oh, well, the Knicks can't beat them with Jimmy Butler. Come on.
Exactly. No, I see what you're saying. I mean, you got a point. Basically, look, I want to talk about the Mets, obviously. This is the thing about Scherzer. Now, supposedly, he's hurt, so now he has an excuse. He has a way out just in case he doesn't pitch well in the next three starts. Look, I think what needs to happen now is Marte, he needs to go on the IL, so is Scherzer. I mean, they need to bring other people to replace him for the time being until they feel better and they can play better.
Well, Scherzer said he's fine. So that article was misleading if you actually read it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read the article or you just saw the headline?
No, I just saw the headline.
Yeah, it's misleading because nowhere in there. Scherzer was talking about how he still was dealing with some soreness, but he got past it, and he knows how to treat it, and he's happy that he didn't get hurt in his last start, and he wants to make sure he's healthy and moving forward. So he may be dealing with some discomfort or whatever, but he's not hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's still kind of like, you know, putting that out there. I mean, I get it, you know, but, you know, if you hear things like that, to me, that's kind of like a way out just in case he fails.
Right, but the reporter's the one who put the story out there. So exactly. He went to Scherzer and asked him about it, I'm assuming, and if you read it, none of the quotes were saying, and Max even said, I believe, hey, you're out there, this is big leagues, this is New York, nobody cares. Something of the sort, I'm paraphrasing here, but I didn't get that Max was making excuses from it. However, I understand what you're saying. Now that that's out there, people are going to say, especially if he has a bad start again tonight, people are going to say he must be hurt.
Exactly, and that's what it is. And then, you know, I think, you know, again, with the lineup, the previous caller, he was saying that Lindor, he's not doing well. It's more his average, but he's hitting for basically, you know, for extra base hits. He's doing pretty well as far as like RBIs and things like that. It's more that he's not hitting for average. And I think that has a consequence, my opinion, is a consequence of the pitching not being there, because what's happening is it's putting pressure on the lineup. And basically, because the pitching is not there, in their minds, you know, Alonso and Lindor and people like that, they're putting pressure on themselves because they think, look, if we don't score this amount of runs, we're going to lose the game. And another thing is this. I think, ridiculous.
But where are you getting that Lindor's having a good year other than the average?
No, because look, he's driving in runs. He's basically, he has a lot of extra base hits. He's doing, I mean, he's not, his average is not where it needs to be, but he is driving in runs. I mean, that's a fact. When you look at his, his RBIs, when you look at, for example, the number of RBIs that he has, mm-hmm. I mean, we know like a month in.
He's got 25 ribbies.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's not, that's not bad compared, you know, to really, you know, to his average. I think, you know, that's pretty good. I think once he picks it up, I think, you know, he'll probably do better. And I want to get to this point, which I think a lot of people are focusing on Nito. Let's remember this with Nito. He's a backup catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a starting catcher. So a lot of people, I want him out. Remember, he's a backup. And the thing is, basically, he's not a starting catcher. So just remember that.
He's insignificant. He's insignificant.
So he's not the problem.
No, well,
problem
of course not.
Is the starting pitching. That's the problem.
It's a big problem. But also Lindor, and thank you for the call, Antonio. Also Lindor, also Alonso, also Marte. The problem is not the insignificant Tomas Nito. The problem is not the insignificant. Remember, everybody, get rid of Darren Ruff. Get rid of Darren Ruff. And remember what I told you. Oh, okay, now what? Now that Ruff's gone, now what? Made it like that was the problem. Problem is not Mark Canha or Luis Guillorme or Tommy Pham. The solution is not Mark Vientos. The problem and the solutions are Lindor, Alonso, Marte, Scherzer, Verlander. Those are the problems. Those are the solutions. Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. We'll finish up with your calls here, whatever it is you want to discuss. I was just talking with Fleegs during the break because he's getting ready to take you through the overnight. One thing I didn't get to from the weekend, from yesterday, or from Sunday, actually, it drove me up a wall. And we'll do plenty of baseball later on tonight. We'll be back on again after the Yankee game. And we'll discuss Judge's return. We could discuss the Yankees in general. And obviously, we'll get into the Mets and Max Scherzer, which will be the big thing to take from later on tonight. Whether it's good or bad, Max Scherzer's start is going to be the story. Look, we look ahead to Game 5 as well with the Knicks. But the other big thing that has happened with the Mets this year, I mean, we could talk about the big stars, Marte, Lindor, Alonso not being good enough, Scherzer, Verlander, you know, some of the injuries, whatever. The other thing that the Mets did differently this year than what they were doing a year ago is they're not, last year, they weren't beating themselves. This year, they're beating themselves. How do you explain Daniel Vogelbach getting caught off of second base like that, costing the Mets a run, and ending the inning, which they were rallying in? That is unacceptable. And this is not to pick on Vogelbach, but the Mets have done stupid things. They're not playing smart baseball at all this year, which is very uncharacteristic for a Buck Showalter-led team. That just can't happen. Nimmo trying to steal a base in a spot where you better be glued to first base as the tying run is at the plate. Nimmo getting caught stealing. Marte was doing the same thing in San Francisco, you know, during those final two games of the road trip. The last time we saw the Mets playing good baseball before those final two games of the road trip. They're beating themselves. Last year, they put the ball in play, made the other teams make mistakes, and took advantage of the other teams beating themselves. This year, the Mets are the team that is beating themselves. That's a big part of this problem as well. And as much as I love Buck, and you know I do, he's got to take some of the responsibility for that. There's no doubt that Buck is part to blame on that. So you could talk about the big picture stuff or the obvious things with the stars not doing their job. But clearly they need to be smarter as a team overall. And that is why when you look at this team, in comparison to, say, even the Yankees, that, you know, the Mets are the team that has been worse. Yankees have been ravaged by injury, and they still fight tooth and nail. They still win these series. They still compete in Tampa and should have won that series with Gerrit Cole on the mound up 6-0. And, all right, the Rays come back. Cole doesn't have it. Go figure. The one day he doesn't have it is the day, obviously, they, you know, he would have liked to have won that series. But even as bad as the Yankees have played here, they still, it's not that bad. Bader all of a sudden comes on, and he's been a huge difference for them. Who would have thought that that was the case? Matter of fact, we talked about, can Harrison Bader provide that much of a spark? And everybody's like, I don't know. Bader's not a good offensive player. He's brought here for his defense. He had the aberration of a big postseason. Wrong. Bader had a big postseason. He's picked up right where he left off. Harrison Bader has become an impactful Yankee here. Offensively and defensively. Better keep him healthy. He got the tip on that, you know, shaved knob of the bat from his college teammate, Pete Alonso. And it's working for him. Whether it's a bloop base hit, whether it's a big Bader home run, he's done it all. Anyway, the Yankees are playing better baseball than the Mets are. The Mets, you compare them to last year, they've done way worse things this year. We talk about beating themselves, sloppy on the base paths, whatever. And the other thing is just losing series. Not only did they not lose many series a year ago, they are now losing series to bad teams. And they've lost, you know, four straight series. Like, that just doesn't happen or didn't happen for this team a year ago. That's what I think makes it feel a little bit worse, where it's not just the results, it's not just their record, It's not just the performance. It's so different from what it was a year ago. That's a sign that it's just not, you know, looking like their year at the moment. Things can change, sure. But really, once Diaz went down, that to me was the, I don't want to say death blow to the season. It was an obvious sign of, hey, maybe it's not their year. And once that happened, you know, it's tough to recover from something like that. They still have a ton of, you know, potential with their talent. It's got to start from the stability in the rotation. And then from there, build out. And I think that starts tonight for them with Max Scherzer on the mound in Cincinnati. Because if Max Scherzer is going to be what he's been so far this year, the Mets don't have a chance. It can't just be Verlander and Senga and whatever else they have in that rotation behind those guys. You know, who's healthy, who's performing, who's not. It's been a disastrous rotation or start to the year in their rotation. If Scherzer can provide some stability, I do think Verlander is going to follow and be what he was expected to be before he got hurt. He looked good in his season debut, in his Mets debut in Detroit, especially outside of the first inning, giving up the back-to-back homers. After that, he looked good. Scherzer is the one who's going to set the tone. Scherzer, then Verlander, and Senga, that changes everything. You're not going to lose many series if those guys are clicking at the top of their rotation. Throw in Tylor, Megill, and Lucchesi, it's not a bad starting five. But we need to see Scherzer do the job. And I do think the bats will end up doing enough, similar to what they did last year. But they've got to play smarter baseball. You know, we could talk about the bats thinking they could do it. They actually got to go out there and do it. But the potential is there. Anyway, between the Mets and Yanks, it's been a rough start for both these two teams. But I do feel like the Mets has been worse, because at least the Yankees you could excuse for just being completely ravaged by injury. Plus, that even when it's bad for them, they still find a way to win series or compete in series. They were better than Tampa over the weekend. I thought they were the better team. Somehow they blew that 6-0 game, which shouldn't happen, especially with Gerrit Cole on the mound. But that was an unfortunate loss for them. And they'll bounce back as they did against the A's last night. And they'll probably sweep this series and see what happens with the big boy back, as Judge will come back tonight and get set for that big, after these games with the A's, the big four-game series with the Rays. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Manny Rodriguez. Thanks to Rosie before him. We'll see you tomorrow following the Yankees. Fleegs will take you through the overnight. He's coming up next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. We'll finish up with your calls here, whatever it is you want to discuss. I was just talking with Fleegs during the break because he's getting ready to take you through the overnight. One thing I didn't get to from the weekend, from yesterday, or from Sunday, actually, it drove me up a wall. And we'll do plenty of baseball later on tonight. We'll be back on again after the Yankee game. And we'll discuss Judge's return. We could discuss the Yankees in general. And obviously, we'll get into the Mets and Max Scherzer, which will be the big thing to take from later on tonight. Whether it's good or bad, Max Scherzer's start is going to be the story. Look, we look ahead to Game 5 as well with the Knicks. But the other big thing that has happened with the Mets this year, I mean, we could talk about the big stars, Marte, Lindor, Alonso not being good enough, Scherzer, Verlander, you know, some of the injuries, whatever. The other thing that the Mets did differently this year than what they were doing a year ago is they're not, last year, they weren't beating themselves. This year, they're beating themselves. How do you explain Daniel Vogelbach getting caught off of second base like that, costing the Mets a run, and ending the inning, which they were rallying in? That is unacceptable. And this is not to pick on Vogelbach, but the Mets have done stupid things. They're not playing smart baseball at all this year, which is very uncharacteristic for a Buck Showalter-led team. That just can't happen. Nimmo trying to steal a base in a spot where you better be glued to first base as the tying run is at the plate. Nimmo getting caught stealing. Marte was doing the same thing in San Francisco. you know, during those final two games of the road trip. The last time we saw the Mets playing good baseball before those final two games of the road trip. They're beating themselves. Last year, they put the ball in play, made the other teams make mistakes, and took advantage of the other teams beating themselves. This year, the Mets are the team that is beating themselves. That's a big part of this problem as well. And as much as I love Buck, and you know I do, he's got to take some of the responsibility for that. There's no doubt that Buck is part to blame on that. So you could talk about the big picture stuff or the obvious things with the stars not doing their job. But clearly they need to be smarter as a team overall. And that is why when you look at this team, in comparison to, say, even the Yankees, that, you know, the Mets are the team that has been worse. Yankees have been ravaged by injury, and they still fight tooth and nail. They still win these series. They still compete in Tampa and should have won that series with Gerrit Cole on the mound up 6-0. And, all right, the Rays come back. Cole doesn't have it. Go figure. The one day he doesn't have it is the day, obviously, they, you know, he would have liked to have won that series. But even as bad as the Yankees have played here, they still, it's not that bad. Bader all of a sudden comes on and he's been a huge difference for them. Who would have thought that that was the case? Matter of fact, we talked about, oh, can Harrison Bader provide that much of a spark? And everybody's like, I don't know. Bader's not a good offensive player. He was brought here for his defense. He had the aberration of a big postseason. Wrong. Bader had a big postseason. He's picked up right where he left off. Harrison Bader has become an impactful Yankee here. Offensively and defensively. Better keep him healthy. He got the tip on that, you know, shaved knob of the bat from his college teammate, Pete Alonso. And it's working for him. Whether it's a bloop base hit, whether it's a big Bader home run, he's done it all. Anyway, the Yankees are playing better baseball than the Mets are. The Mets, you compare them to last year, they've done way worse things this year. We talk about beating themselves, sloppy on the base paths, whatever. And the other thing is just losing series. Not only did they not lose many series a year ago, they are now losing series to bad teams. And they've lost, you know, four straight series. Like, that just doesn't happen or didn't happen for this team a year ago. That's what I think makes it feel a little bit worse, where it's not just the results, it's not just their record, it's not just the performance. It's so different from what it was a year ago. That's a sign that it's just not, you know, looking like their year at the moment. Things can change, sure. But really, once Diaz went down, that to me was the, I don't want to say death blow to the season. It was an obvious sign of, hey, maybe it's not their year. And once that happened, you know, it's tough to recover from something like that. They still have a ton of, you know, potential with their talent. It's got to start from the stability in the rotation. And then from there, build out. And I think that starts tonight for them with Max Scherzer on the mound in Cincinnati. Because if Max Scherzer is going to be what he's been so far this year, the Mets don't have a chance. It can't just be Verlander and Senga and whatever else they have in that rotation behind those guys. You know, who's healthy, who's performing, who's not. It's been a disastrous rotation or start to the year in their rotation. If Scherzer can provide some stability, I do think Verlander is going to follow and be what he was expected to be before he got hurt. He looked good in his season debut, in his Mets debut in Detroit, especially outside of the first inning, giving up the back-to-back homers. After that, he looked good. Scherzer is the one who's going to set the tone. Scherzer, then Verlander, and Senga. That changes everything. You're not going to lose many series if those guys are clicking at the top of their rotation. Throw in Tylor, Megill, and Lucchesi, it's not a bad starting five. But we need to see Scherzer do the job. And I do think the bats will end up doing enough, similar to what they did last year. But they've got to play smarter baseball. You know, we could talk about the bats thinking they could do it. They actually got to go out there and do it. But the potential is there. Anyway, between the Mets and Yanks, it's been a rough start for both these two teams. But I do feel like the Mets has been worse, because at least the Yankees you could excuse for just being completely ravaged by injury. Plus, that even when it's bad for them, they still find a way to win series or compete in series. They were better than Tampa over the weekend. I thought they were the better team. Somehow they blew that 6-0 game, which shouldn't happen, especially with Gerrit Cole on the mound. But that was an unfortunate loss for them. And they'll bounce back as they did against the A's last night. And they'll probably sweep this series and see what happens with the big boy back, as Judge will come back tonight and get set for that big, after these games with the A's, the big four-game series with the Rays. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Manny Rodriguez. Thanks to Rosie before him. We'll see you tomorrow following the Yankees. Fleegs will take you through the overnight. He's coming up next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, yeah!